flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz coming to you from New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. Thanks to the great Marcus Allen for joining the show. If you miss anything on the show, in the Odyssey app, you can go back up to 2 days on the show, up to any time. Listen there, so if you missed that, or just download the podcast. Joining us now, as he does Thursdays at 4 o'clock, the great Mike Mayock. You can hear Mike every week on the Believe in Birds podcast. Mike, here we are. It is actually the game that we have on Sunday. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, but I'm guessing not as good as you guys down there in New Orleans.
Well, you know, day one in New Orleans, doing great. After 5 days in New Orleans, it's a lot, my friend. Yeah. You know,
we're ready to go home, Mike.
did Ike run out of Ike juice or what happened?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I ran out of Ike juice, gas, fuel, everything else, man.
Yeah.
I'm on fumes right now.
I think Ike ran into a town that has more Ike juice than Ike actually has.
For real. Seriously, it's nonstop, these people, man.
So, Mike, you know, you don't have a lot of opportunities all the time, you who looks at, you know, the entire league, to really dial in on one game for this amount of time, you know, from last Monday till now. Like, thinking about the game, talking to people, looking at film, what do you think is just sort of like the one big matchup that you see that, if you could pick one matchup that you think determines the game on Sunday, what do you think it is?
Wow. I'm pretty excited about watching Spags' defense, believe it or not, on first down, and how heavily he tries to stop the run on first down. And, you know, I've watched, I think, every Barkley run in the playoffs. And on first down, he's been devastating. And the Eagles are, you know, playing in second and three, he's chunking it for 60 and a touchdown like he did the first carry last week. So I'm really intrigued to see what Spags does on first down and whether he tries to force him to throw the ball on first down. And then really I think the key to the whole game, guys, is just what we've talked about the last few weeks, which is Jalen Hurts and the pass game against Kansas City's defense. And to put it really simply, guys, like if it's a blowout, I think the Eagles win. If the Eagles play the way they have a better roster, and if they win the turnover battle the way they have in the playoffs, I think they can win by a couple touchdowns. However, if this game gets into the second half of the fourth quarter and it's a one-score game, then I think Kansas City wins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much where everyone has come to, is that if – we would love to see this be a two-score game in the middle of the fourth quarter because of what is waiting on the other side. And by the way, it's not just Mahomes and Reed. It is, you know, watching that AFC Championship game and what Spagnuolo was able to do to Josh Allen and the Bills on that final drive when they had some success that game moving the ball and scoring as well.
I mean, there's no question. And we don't talk enough about Spags. And, you know, I look at what they did against Buffalo on that final drive, and he's fearless. I mean, he's just dialing up zero pressure blitzes. And then I think back to the Green Bay game when Philadelphia had the ball in the red zone and Green Bay went zero blitz, 2 out of 3 plays, and Philadelphia couldn't handle it. They were confused, and they went 0-for-3, 3 passes, all of them made no sense whatsoever. So those are the things that worry me. If the Philadelphia pass game can be efficient, and we've talked about it the last 5 weeks, ball gets out on time, and he trusts AJ, and he trusts Devontae with man coverage, I don't think he can beat them. If the ball gets out and he trusts them, but if there's any hesitation whatsoever, it's a crapshoot.
Let me ask you, with Coach Sirianni in this game, Mike, how do you think he approaches coaching this game? Is it, you know, because he had the first portion of the season, I think maybe game 6, where I thought it was a little bit too aggressive in, you know, going for it on fourth or not taking the points when they present themselves. And I think it made some games tighter than it needed to be. And then it was after that Jags game that he really went back to, you know, not as aggressive, a little bit more conservative, and let the game sort of play itself out. And they started dominating teams. I'm wondering, in this game, is there an urge for him to want to be overly aggressive because of who's on the other side of the field with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Yeah, and I think that is a really good question. And I tie it in a little bit, Ike, to the conversation about red zone. Like, Philadelphia's defense was number 5 in the league in red zone. Kansas City was number 8. Okay, Kansas City plays its best defense by far in the red zone. So who kicks field goals? Who scores touchdowns? That's a big deal in this game.
Yep.
And I think with Nick, like, let's pick a situation, 3rd and 6 on the plus 18-yard line. Okay? That's a pass down for every team in the league, except maybe the Eagles. If you're Nick and you give the ball to Barkley and you pick up 4 and it's 4th and 2, I think he's going for it.
And yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm with you, Ike, where I thought early in the year, a couple of things, you know, when they threw the ball to Barkley and all on 4th down and he dropped it, and like, I was like, you're being too aggressive. But I am a proponent in 4-down football when it makes sense. When you can put pressure on the other team, especially when their quarterback is named Mahomes, you got 4th and 1 or 4th and 2 and you're who the Eagles have been all year. Yeah. I mean, let's go for it. But yeah, that's why I think the 3rd down calls are interesting. And I think that'll answer your question a little bit, Ike, is what he's doing on 3rd down. If he's running the ball, then what it's telling you is he's setting it up to go for it on 4th.
Well, and the you can wear the defense out a little bit. I mean, I remember the game ended up pretty lopsided in the Eagles' favor. But on that opening drive for the Commanders, where they just kept going for it on 4th down and kept getting it, all I could see for the rest of that game was like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, how many plays can our defense actually hold up? And the reason I like going for it on 4th down is that it puts that added pressure and that added wear and tear on the defense that you're playing.
Yeah, and you know, Ike and I were both defensive players, and I'm guessing we both would attest to the fact that when it was 4th and 1, I always liked seeing the offense jogging off the field.
Yep.
Right.
Right. And not yes. putting pressure on you to stop 4th and 1 or 4th and 2, because a heavy percentage of the time they're going to make it. But back then the coaches didn't think the risk was worth the reward. That's flipped now. And if Washington didn't turn the ball over 4 times last week, that could have been a completely different football game. And because I'm with you, that first drive was what, 17, 18 plays, whatever it was?
Yep.
I mean, Washington moved the football. They were down 12 at half, down 11 at the end of 3 quarters, and they were -4 turnover differential. I mean, that it sounds like it was a 30-point win, and I get it. But at the end of the day, without the turnovers, there's a different conversation to be had. If that gets into the 4th quarter and the Eagles are worn out and Jaden Daniels still running around, you know, like he's 22 years old.
Mike Mayock with us. Mike, simple question. Who do you think is the better football team, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles?
It's not a simple question.
Simple question, maybe not a simple answer. How about that?
No, you know what? I think it's really cool, and it's every team sport and why I love it. is the Eagles have the better roster. And I remember Dan Campbell said earlier this year or last year, he said, we're not trying to get the best 53. We're trying to get the right 53 in the building. And that made a lot of sense to me. And I think the Eagles have done a great job after they fell apart last year to put this thing back together, especially with Vic and Kellen and bringing in Barkley and Zach Bond. And everything they've done has been spot on. And I've said it 100 times, they're a better roster. Does that mean they're a better football team? No. I mean, if you were really honest, guys, you know, we talked about this a week ago, and you had your last $100 in your pocket, and Patrick Mahomes had the ball in the minus 20-yard line with 2 minutes and 12 seconds and a timeout, who would you bet on?
Yep, would bet on Patrick Mahomes.
How about you, Mike?
I'm betting on the defense.
Attaboy.
You know me, Mike. I'm not saying how confident I would be in it. I would be in that bet.
How much he's betting.
Yeah. I think I would bet on the defense.
All right, Mike. Well, I mean, give us your prediction on this one. I can hear in your voice, like I heard really the last
that
two
Rams
games,
game, yeah.
The Rams game and even the Commanders game. And I felt similarly that you look at the Eagles and they've been so dominant, but you got to look at the other team too. And we're talking about a team that has won two consecutive Super Bowls. What's your prediction for Sunday's game?
I think the everything's been so skewed in the playoffs because of the plus 10 turnover differential. And I don't know if that's sustainable. Okay. So the way I look at it today is the same way I looked at it back in August when everybody said that Kansas City couldn't three-peat. And I kept saying, as long as they got Andy and Patrick and they're chasing Tom Brady and Belichick, I'm not betting against them. So the way I look at this is I think it's going to be a close game going into the last half of the fourth quarter, and I think Kansas City's winning.
Wow. Well, I mean, they are favored and they are the Chiefs, so it's certainly not an outlandish prediction. Hope you're wrong, though.
Look, I'm a coach's son, and I just think a certain way, and I guess I don't get too emotional, but growing up in Philly, hell. You know, I hope they blow them out. That'd be awesome.
Yep. All right, Mike. Well, thanks so much. We'd love to talk to you next week to wrap up the season, no matter how this one goes. And we appreciate you joining us all year.
Appreciate it, bro.
Half the year. But thanks so much.
Hey, I've enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, thanks, Mike.
There he is, the great Mike Mayock. Elliott Shore Parks joins us right after.
The great Elliott Shore Parks?
Yes, yeah, the great Elliott Shore Parks, yep.
It's just great to hear a great football guy like Mike Mayock say what I've been saying all
week. Right.
They're favorites. Yes. They are favorites for a reason.
Yeah.
The big one-point faves.
Yeah. All right. Well,
1.5.
Yeah. Jack, why don't you tell him about National Plants Warehouse, and then we'll get to Elliott.
We're all trying to kill time. So yeah.
What?
We're all trying to kill time.
Here.
No, but like you
in
at
life.
Home.
In life. Okay.
This game
in life's
is
a little more depressing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about leading up to the game.
We're all waiting to die.
You guys are unbelievable. So we all want the game to start. You might as well go down to National Appliance Warehouse and check out what I've been talking about. So many great things going on at National Appliance Warehouse and so many things that set National Appliance Warehouse apart. One of them is you're going to get a great price at National Appliance Warehouse. That's guaranteed by Price Assure, a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. But they also are in tax-free Delaware, and they have great savings events like the President's Day mega sale that's going on right now. Also, on top of that, you're going to get a great experience. Mark Smack and his team truly care about a family-friendly atmosphere at National Appliance Warehouse. You walk in, you feel like a part of their family, always having a good time with the appliances, and you're going to get the best appliance for you. Over 100 brands from Sub-Zero to Budget, the National Appliance Warehouse has the right appliance for you. So go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
All right, Elliott with us.
What up?
The Ike, Spike, and Fritz after WIP Afternoon Show in New Orleans. Just saw Emmitt Smith pass by. Emmitt Smith with a true hater comment earlier to Chris Sims said that even if Saquon wins the Super Bowl, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl with Saquon, he finds Eric Dickerson's season more impressive and Terrell Davis's season more impressive than Saquon.
Did he say why other than they're old?
I didn't see. I just saw
that. That is some true hater stuff. I mean, if he has more yards and wins the Super Bowl, I'd be curious to hear the logic as to
And we know Eric Dickerson didn't win the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Yeah, and I mean, Terrell Davis played with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He did.
Right.
Well, so is Jalen.
He's not there yet. But yeah.
Right. Terrell Davis carried John Elway to those titles.
No, I agree, but I mean.
I understand he was a Hall of Fame quarterback, yeah. But Peyton got carried to his last one.
It's a little preview of Jalen's Hall of Fame case in about 30 years.
I'm just saying, I got to keep it real.
Little Sutton's on the air, like, yes.
Yep.
Hall of Fame Jalen got carried by Saquon.
Yeah. Anything new from – we saw Jalen Carter was not at media availability today.
Correct.
Anything new on his condition?
He's still sick. Right. He was limited yesterday. You know, I do think this is mostly trying to limit the spread.
Of course it is.
Right. But,
yeah. Yeah. I'm happy there.
Yeah, and look, the game's not till Sunday. We've all been sick. I think we can all say by Sunday you hope he's feeling better. But if he's not, they will certainly IV him up and get him all that stuff. So
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I mean, here's the thing. It's Thursday.
Dr. ESP.
And since yesterday, you know, I'd be surprised if he's still feeling from flu-like symptoms.
Right.
4 days later.
But again,
like 4 or 5 days later.
In this city. I can't guarantee anything.
That's why he's quarantined, basically. Yeah, right, yeah. And they're keeping him in his room. You keep fluids in him. You keep him away from everybody else so it doesn't start to spread throughout the team. And you got to start dealing with that stuff. So I'm good with it.
I mean,
these practices are barely above a walkthrough.
Right.
They're not out here practicing.
So you don't think him being limited in terms of him missing, like, running the plays in the game, you don't think that's a big deal?
Okay. Nope. And because of his position, it don't even matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because as a defensive lineman, he really just has to defeat the guy in front of him.
So with that, I think one of the more interesting decisions in this game, and I do wonder if it impacts the fact he's missing practice, I think he's played in one spot on that defensive line all year, and he's going up against the better guard in Kansas City with Trey Smith.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of logic in moving him over. So he's going up against Mike Caliendo. He's the backup left guard that went in. If you're not practicing during the week, is it tougher to move from spot to spot? He's played like 85% of his snaps on the one side.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Coach Fangio is doing a lot of complicated, creative
Slay
stuff.
Slay and Quinyon don't move, too.
Yeah.
Like, he really keeps guys in their spot.
Yeah, and maybe they thrive in those positions. I don't care who it is at guard. You ain't blocking Jalen Carter with one guy.
I agree with
that. So whoever that guard is, it's going to be two of them.
Well, the other thing that it does is if he moves, it moves everybody. Like, it moves the guys who are normally playing on one side
of him.
Yeah. You know, so I think in a game like this where the last thing you want to do is have a play blow up because an assignment was different.
Jason Avant.
Than you expected
twin.
It to
That's
be.
That's my twin, Jason. Yep. I'm just 6 feet. I'm just 2 feet taller than he is.
Yeah. The last thing you want is a guy saying, I thought I was supposed to be over there.
Yeah. Especially a game that could be so close where one penalty, an extra first down via, you know, penalty could matter. And the other part of that, too, I will say, is Milton Williams is that awesome year. So if we're talking about Jordan Davis doing the pass rushing, maybe there's a little more argument for it. But Milton Williams has been good against the Chiefs. He's played well this year. So, you know, if Jalen Carter, if they're going to try to block him one-on-one so that they're helping out the left guard Caliendo, to your point, Jalen Carter one-on-one, you like his chances.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG?
What up, OG?
OG, do you have us on speakerphone?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
You still do.
Still do, yeah.
No, I don't.
All right. All right.
Are you in the bathroom?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that
makes sense. Guys, you know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Okay, I had to come into a quiet place. I'm in a store.
Okay.
So, listen. Mm-hmm. You guys is concerning me a little bit. It seems like we got a lot of people down there more positive about our quarterback than, you know, the old show, you know. So, but one thing y'all didn't mention.
Every day you cry about Jalen. It's every day.
I'm landing my plane. Hey, listen. Here's something serious that y'all haven't said. Now, everybody's talking about Spags, all against Kellen Moore. Spags ain't going against Kellen Moore. Spags is going against Jeff Stoutland. So all that stuff that he drawing
aren't
up.
Aren't they all on the same?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the difference here.
Actually not. Ike. No.
Okay.
This is just OG setting up the fall guy if Jalen doesn't play.
No. Now we going great on great. We already know Jeff Stoutland is great, right, at offensive line play and picking.
Yep.
So, and we know that Spags is good at what he do. So now it's going to come down to what? The four, you know, OG Wave 4-point system.
The 4-point system, yep.
As we know how that's going to turn out, Eagles going to win that one 4-0, you know, which was good. And I'm listening to Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock talking about all this. With how many fourth downs did they go for? Mike Mayock, you know that they went for four out of them, 18 plays. Four of them was on fourth down. Andy Reid will never do that like that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no. See, Washington did it because they playing with house money. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing for them to lose. Ain't no way in the world Andy Reid.
They played that way all year, and they were the best team on fourth down in the NFL.
Okay. Yeah. Spike, I kind of think we agree on that. I just meant that point.
No, that's not what you said. You said they did it because they're playing with house money.
Well, I'm saying the city will not do that because of what's at stake here. Andy Reid don't play that kind of way. So I'm saying my point is Mike Mayock's thing and them getting those long drives and if the Eagles didn't turn the ball over four times. Don't you know they're forced turnovers? They weren't just drop turnovers? You know, so that's almost like Micah Parsons said. If you take out the scoreboard, you know, the game was close. Well, congratulations, Mike. You just joined that club. We ain't here for that crap, all right? We ain't here for none of that crap, Spike.
That's what I'm here. Get fired up. That's what I want to hear, man.
Yeah, I think you need a new bit.
I just think your bit
is like this many just, weeks of this same
you know what,
bit.
Man,
I just like
just say
you're like you're like
something.
You're like the Rolling Stones like touring playing start. It's like start me up again, you know.
Man, let me tell you something, Spike, with your little bit, okay?
Yeah.
You still got a debt to pay here.
4-point right, system. Everybody's wrong. Jalen didn't do anything. He's better than Mahomes. He's my son. He's
the Mahomes
dude.
Point is fair.
Spike, you know what your bit is? Your movie company is going to get your damn record.
You got a bad cell. You're in a bathroom.
Why don't you flush the toilet?
Yeah, go flush the toilet. I'm putting it on my rolls. I'm not even hanging up on him. I'm not doing the surface hanging up on him. He's got a bad cell. Whatever. Jason Avant's going to join us now.
Oh, yeah. He's going to hop on.
Oh, boy. All right.
Go
so
green.
We are in New Orleans.
Ike, you getting up? Or?
For Super Bowl 59. Well, you guys, you know,
it's
twins.
The best bit right there.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's like unlike OGs.
Yeah.
His cooked bit. Yep.
We're in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. Jason Avant joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is, I wish you could see this. Jason got him going. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz from New Orleans. And just...
You know we got love for you.
Yeah. Jason screaming, go Birds at Emmitt Smith.
I
screaming, go Birds at Emmitt Smith.
Ike is always an instigator.
We know you had the 90s, but it's a new day.
We're America's team.
That was classic.
Thanks for joining us, friend. You've been here all week, or is this first day here in New Orleans?
No, I got here and went today. It's my first day. Got here and went to Dillard University to play pickleball with Justin Forsett.
Okay.
And my first time ever playing pickleball. I ended up playing for 2 hours, and I was sweaty and everything.
Are you a pickleball guy now, do you think?
I think I am. I think I'm a pickleball guy.
It was so fun. This dude is so active, man.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, he's in great shape.
Yep.
Right? He's in great shape. He stays active. pickleball, I can't even think about doing anything like that, man. Only golf.
Only golf?
Yeah, and I know you ain't playing golf.
Well, you almost got into yoga.
I was supposed to start, but I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I was supposed to, but I'm going to wait till next year.
I'm going to wait till next year. I'm going to put it off. Yeah. I'm going to wait till next year. I'm going to wait till next year. It's February.
Yep, this year just started.
Jason, Philly's pretty confident about Sunday. You know, it's funny talking to Philadelphia people. You would think that this is like that the Eagles are a 10.5 point favorite, the way that everybody feels. Yep. And then you get here and everyone says that same thing. It's like, well, it was close in the fourth quarter. You know, that's a scary thing going against Kansas City. How do you see it?
It is a scary thing because of all the years, right? When you have Dave Toews, Spagnuolo, Andy Reid, that's over 100 plus years of coaching. So when you get in those scenarios where if it comes down to coaching a one or two possession game, they definitely have an advantage. But here's the thing. When you can win in ways that we win, which is a dominant offensive line, which is Jalen Carter, Milton Williams, Nolan Smith, those guys, it doesn't matter how much talent you got have, how much coaching you have. When you have the dominant players in those two key positions, all bets are off on that coaching experience stuff. So that's why you see people that are more in line with how the Eagles could win this game than not.
Yeah, I think the thing that gives me a little bit of pause is as dominant as we have been, all of those things that you're talking about, there have been some games, or a lot of games, that in the fourth quarter, the other team somehow is hanging around. And we've found a way to put it away, right? Even the two playoff games prior to the Washington game, we found it. We dominated that Green Bay game, and there it is, 16-10, right? The Rams game, all of a sudden, they're on our 10-yard line waiting to score. And this is a team that you don't want to do that against. You don't.
And here's the thing with this team. Our team has the ability, if they play clean, to dominate the games, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't play as clean when it comes to, holding drives. There's multiple times where you have guys that are open and Jalen may not throw the ball, breakdowns on defense in the Washington games. But when you look at all of their games, two drops, they're 16-1. Yeah. They got dominated one football game, and even in that football game, we refused to run the ball. We wanted to throw the ball a bunch without Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown in the game. Right? So when you look at all of the games that we play, the biggest enemy against the Eagles have been the Eagles. It's no other team. If the Eagles can go out there and play a clean football game, execute the way that they can, this game wouldn't be close at all because that's how much more talented they are.
Now, since he's a wide receiver, right? So,
right.
The scenario that we not the end of the game thing.
Okay.
What we talked about yesterday about being aggressive coming out.
Right.
Or sticking to what you've done all year.
Right. Yeah, so one of the things –
I don't know what he thinks.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking about yesterday is about Jalen, right? And, like, my position on this one is we are so much more talented that against most teams in the NFL, we can play safe, maybe ultra safe, and from a pass game perspective and win that game. This game doesn't feel like it's one that you can do that. That you can just wait for the other team to make mistakes, and then you'll win by making fewer mistakes. And I think about that, the Buffalo-Kansas City game. Buffalo didn't turn the ball over at all. And there they are at the end of the game, and they lost that game. And my position has been, and I'm curious how you see it, from a passing perspective, it's not about throwing it 35 or 40 times. It's about when you drop back, take the shots that are there. You know, I feel like a lot of times Jalen has been maybe risk averse, and what I want in this game is for him to go win us the game and not play the role of the guy that's not going to lose it because he turned the ball over. I'm curious how you see that.
Why would you do that and that hadn't been the winning formula the entire year?
But
let me continue. So here's the thing. The Chiefs are not this dominant offense like they have been in years past where you have to go out and score 35 points. The Chiefs are covering up their biggest weakness. The way that they play offense is basically a run-pass offense that leans more to the passing element of the run-pass option because they cannot protect the quarterback. They have guys, they have run-throughs, they have protection problems. So, therefore, they are a dink-and-dunk team that max protects and throws the ball down the field that way. So, they're limited offensively. So, this is the time where your offense doesn't have to make a mistake and you're going to be in this game. So Jalen going out and winning a game, playing like he did in Super Bowl 57, is not really something that we have to do. We need to lean on the running game, which is Saquon, like we always do, and see early in the ball game. Will we commit the fifth guy, Spagnuolo's commit the fifth guy, which is a defensive lineman, because their linebackers, they don't have the luxury of having Zach Bond and having a guy that used to be an edge rusher playing in the middle now. They have two small guys in Bolton and Tranquil, guys that are undersized linebackers. They can't move up and be that fifth person. So if they bring that guy up, how will we be able to move that fifth guy? Or at that point, can we throw it outside? That's when you go, if we can't move their fifth guy in the line, on the line, will we go outside at that point? That's my thought process.
So one thing I would disagree on there is that you said, why would you do something that you haven't done all year? But I don't necessarily think we haven't done that all year. Like, when you look at Jalen's pass attempts versus his dropbacks, his pass attempts are a lot lower than his dropbacks. He takes a lot of sacks because he doesn't want to turn the ball over. He holds the ball too long. A lot of times you'll see Jalen throwing the ball 21, 22 times, and you look at the number of times he dropped back to throw, and it was 32. And I thought that was the difference in the Washington game, is there were plays to take there. And they throw the ball early, too. We've attempted to throw the ball early a lot this season, he hasn't let the ball go.
They marry the thing that they should have married all year in the Washington game.
Right, I agree with you.
So, and it wasn't about dropbacks. This offense shouldn't be predicated on dropbacks. This is fake the ball in the running back's belly, which they did on all of their passes, and get free plays on the outside. Also, what you do is you fake the stretch zone and you get of Dallas Goedert to the flat or something like that. They haven't been doing that consistently, and that's why Jalen's numbers are like that, because now you have to bring guys up, and now you get the one-on-ones that you have. Teams have been reluctant to give them one-on-ones on the outside, but guess what? Washington has. They have Marshawn Lattimore. They have Mikey Sanristil, and they feel like those guys can cover. So guess what you may have in this game, because you bring the extra guy into the line of scrimmage. You have Trent McDuffie, and you have Jalen Watson. So you may get a one-on-one in that situation, which causes Jalen to see it easily outside. One-on-one, it's man-to-man. I can throw that ball. I'm comfortable and confident with that throw. If you just give him normal dropbacks and you tell him to read stuff, it's going to be a little bit harder.
Well, when I say dropback, I mean a play that he can pass the ball. I would disagree with you that he takes it every time that he sees one-on-one with AJ. And I would say in previous seasons, we have seen that. He has shown confidence doing that. I don't think he has shown, especially in the second half of this year, more times than not, he has been reluctant, which is why he gets sacked more than a quarterback in his position should get sacked.
Well, the times that you see AJ on a one-on-one, or what you consider a one-on-one, if a guy's pressed in cover three and Jalen knows, okay, he has a one-on-one outside, it's really not. It's cover three. The guy is pressed, but his job is not to let the guy get behind him. So it's not a true one-on-one outside. So Jalen kind of knows that. And the times that he doesn't go to AJ Brown on those types of scenarios, there's a read that's clear there, but he may not be able to see it. Size problems, whatever it may be. I think of one a couple games ago, Devontae Smith had a clear out route. The play was designed. He was looking back at AJ Brown, and he shouldn't have been. So there's plays like that Jalen gets confused on. But if you play man-to-man like the Spagnuolo will have to do if they bring that fifth guy, it's an easy read for Jalen.
Well, but that's what I want him to do. And
you need to win up front.
Well, sure.
To make them get to the point where they're
where
willing
that
to do that. So that means you got to establish the run first.
But I still want him taking those shots. And okay. I guess my point is, I don't think you can get sacked more than any other quarterback against the blitz in the NFL and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think you can be 30th in sack rate regularly when you have the best offensive line in the league. I can't imagine there are not plays to be had when you're swallowing the ball like that. And I feel like he has been a little too risk averse.
So if he gets rid of the ball instead of taking sacks.
Well, that's huge.
That's what he's been doing.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. My thing is that I don't believe they ever go into a game saying, we're going to win by Jalen throwing the ball today.
I agree with you.
Well, that's the whole point.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
But I don't think it's the point. I don't think it's an either or scenario.
No, me either. But I'm saying there's a general idea when you put a game plan together as to how we want to go and win this game.
Run the ball.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Everything must start there.
Yeah, yes. I agree. But I don't think it is. There's a we've gotten to a spread that I don't think is. I think it could be a little bit closer. I don't think we need to be 60-40. Right. Like okay. and I don't think we need to be throw for the least passing yards in the next passing yards in the NFL. And I think we can score more points than we do.
I'm not saying that you can't.
Yep.
And there's times where even with Jalen's say he has 20 passes.
Yep.
Like he may have three of those where there was a game, the Packers game, where he had multiple drops from guys. Yeah. He had dimes that were thrown. Like, so there's things there. Doesn't mean that Jalen isn't throwing the ball well or enough. You know, so there's he's completing 70% of his passes.
Yeah.
Because he's throwing a lot fewer passes.
And
I mean, he got sacked 7 times against the Rams. 7 times.
It was snowing.
Yeah, it was snowing. He couldn't get, but here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're Jalen in that situation? The defensive coordinator is throwing things at you. I may not be able to pick it up right away. Normally, I can go to my bat belt. That's being able to maneuver out of it.
Yep.
It's snowing now, so I can't do that. So now I'm going to get sacked a little bit more than I normally would because normally I can get out of the situation that I can't get out of now.
And he was hurt.
Well, and sometimes you'd rather take a sack than turn the ball over. You don't want him to force a throw.
No, throw the ball out of bounds.
Ball 25.
Here's my thing is that the Eagles' formula is successful.
Yes.
Has been. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's caused them not only to be successful, but they've been the most dominant team in the league. So why deviate at all?
Why change that? He's smart,
We'll
man.
Get your answer after.
Hold on. I just got to talk about Surfside.
He's smart, man. He's smart.
No, you're
– Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Hey, Birds fans, I'm bringing you the game day essential. I'm talking about Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka, both absolutely delicious and available in the convenient variety pack. Now, each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation. Great watch party starts with what's in the fridge. So make sure you stock it right. Surfside iced tea and vodka, the official cocktail of Philly sports. Ask for it at your local bars, liquor store, and grocery stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
I would say this is my final answer to your question about deviating. One, I don't think it's as much of a deviation as it seems like it is based on the plays that are called. And the second thing I would say is one thing you said earlier was if we do this, we're going to be in the game. I don't want to just be in the game in the fourth quarter against this team. Like, I want to be up 10 points if I can be up 10 points. I don't want to be a fumble away from losing the game if I can help it. And I think that sort of stuff happens in the first three quarters, not the fourth quarter.
Like, I think what's where Spike and I fall on this is that I don't think this Jalen game cannot just be don't turn the ball over. Like,
yeah,
you have
it can
to,
be.
But
actually,
no.
I actually believe that to be true. That's the only thing that can stop the Eagles is Jalen turning the ball over. That's it. You're not dealing with a Chiefs team that's a dominant offense. Like, if you watch them play offense, they struggle at times because they cannot protect. That's why they have to do this dink and dunk crap. That's why they do it. They're limited offensively. They're very limited. Their defense is solid. But if our team doesn't turn the ball over, we're going to win this ball game. You don't have to be Jalen Super Bowl 57. Right. You don't have to beat him.
You know how many points Kansas City averaged this year?
It's like 23 24? Or 24, yeah.
22 and a half points.
They're
22
not,
and a half
and
points.
They scored 33 last week in the AFC Championship game because they needed
the Buffalo
to.
Buffalo Bills don't have the Eagles defense.
No, I know.
So I would throw this back at you. You think if they could score more than 22 points a game, they wouldn't?
Well, of course, that's what I said about the Eagles all year. Right.
The Eagles scored 55 points last week.
Yeah.
And I agree, but the 2 weeks before, and I know we
so
scored.
Hold on, 50. Wait.
No.
So you're going.
But I want him to play like he played last week.
No. But
I want him to play like he played last week.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
But you're going to bring up the Bills game of them scoring more points. But I'm just telling you that the it's cyclical. But the baseline is 22 points.
Sure, and our baseline is 26. Right? I mean, we're not talking about we're scoring 10 points more a game than they are. And the other thing, yeah, we blew the Commanders out. But if we're in the situation we were against Green Bay, where it is
our
a
baseline
six.
Our is 27.2.
Okay. I go by Jalen games, which is lower.
Oh, my
well,
gosh.
It's lower.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's. Well, I mean, it is what it is. They scored. How much did they score against Dallas in the Piggy game?
I'm just saying. Oh,
Wait, our offense isn't based on Jalen, it's based on Saquon.
What my point is, if you want to talk about the playoff games, yeah. My position is I do not want to be in a fourth quarter like I was against the Packers and like I was against the Rams. Because this team that we're playing on Sunday is not Jordan Love and the Packers, and it is not a Rams team that might have been just happy to be there at that time. We are going against potentially the greatest quarterback of all time, potentially the greatest head coach of all time, potentially one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time, the greatest tight end of all time. I want to try to put my foot on their throat, not get into the fourth quarter and hope I can
win
the game.
But you know how that's going to be done by the defense, by limiting Kansas City points.
Yep.
And ball control offense and getting the ball to Saquon, and Jalen will make his throws. Like Jalen will make his
throws. I just want Jalen to make his throws.
We just haven't had a game all year long where it's been on Jalen to win for us.
I agree.
We haven't seen that all year long.
I agree.
And I don't think we should anticipate that.
Here's the thing.
You've named all of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
The coach, the tight end, the quarterback. If you can't block, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's gotten them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's gotten them here because teams know that they're the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have done a great job. And this is the coach. This is Andy Reid. I think this is one of his most masterful jobs.
Sure.
Is because he's figured out ways to move the ball without being able to protect long time. That's why they had to go to the RPO, because guess what you can do in the RPO? You can get away with not blocking anybody in order to move the ball. And that's what's happening. Now, our team, guess what we do a lot of?
RPO.
Guess what our defense sees a lot of?
RPO.
That's in our favor. A lot of these things that they're doing is kind of in our favor.
So last thing. We only have a couple minutes. We've been talking about this. And, by the way, I appreciate the debate.
Yeah. Oh, it's all good stuff.
Two masters. Well, can I tell you this? If I had told myself that I was debating two former Eagles about how they should play in the Super Bowl, and you guys engage with me in the debate, I appreciate that.
So we work in a profession where most of y'all never put on a helmet.
Yep.
So we understand.
Well, I put it on. I just look silly. And
It's all good. So, opinions are opinions.
Yep.
So justified.
Here's the debate. We've been talking about this for 2 weeks, and Ike brought it up. Yeah. So there's 2 minutes and 7 seconds left, and I give you two choices.
Dang it.
Choice number one, the Eagles lead by 4 points, and the Kansas City Chiefs have the ball on their own 20-yard line for the rest of the game to try to score a touchdown and win the game. Choice number two, the Eagles are down by 4 points, have 2 minutes and 7 seconds, and have Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley on their own 20-yard line to score a touchdown and win the game. Which do you choose?
Jalen and
offense.
You want the offense.
Yeah.
Want the ball down to go score.
Yeah. That's an offensive player, though.
Yeah. No.
That's not a D-man.
Nah.
That's a glory.
That's one of those scenarios where you're at the mercy of a great player.
Right.
and you're at the mercy of I want to win. And that championship pedigree kind of rears its head. You have the opportunity to go and kill the lion offensively rather than be killed by a guy that's been the killer the entire time.
We agree on that one.
Yeah, y'all agree. Yes, I agree. It's okay.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you for spending time.
Hey, great job all year, too, with the post game.
I appreciate that. It's been fun.
Finally got a football guy on the post.
Yeah, finally got a real guy on there.
Yep. That's what he's talking about.
Elliot joins me for the 5 o'clock hour as Ike and Jack go to catch a flight.
Yes.
Elliot next. And by the way, I am doing the top 5 at 5. And by the way, the top 5 at 5 is the 5 things I've learned about Jack Fritz in New Orleans.
Positive things?
Five things I've learned. So that's coming up next.
Relentlessly myself. I told you that.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.